In Colossians chapter 3, we've arrived at verse 20. I'm going to begin reading in verse 18 as this set of verses focuses upon the family in God's plan, the family within the confines of the church especially. And we have spent the last couple of weeks looking at verse 18 and 19. Let me begin there in verse 18. It says the following. Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be embittered against them. Children, verse 20 says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Father, we pray for your wisdom and strength, for your Spirit's work in our hearts as we study your word. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have seen this passage beginning in verse 18 discussing husbands and wives. Our families are before us this morning. And we saw it address wives, first of all, to be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. And 2 weeks ago, I asked the question, why? Why should wives be subject to their husbands? Is it because the husbands here are just so bright, just so all-knowing and so wonderful that they are always going to lead them perfectly along the way? No. The reason why is because our families, the families here this morning, sitting together among the body of Christ before the Lord, worshiping together, our families have been called by God to be those who demonstrate to the world around us this is, through our marriages, Christ and His church. And we, as the bride of Christ, are always to be in submission to Jesus Christ, our betrothed husband. Our families are to show the glory of Christ. And God has called us, husbands, to lead your wives. Wives, be subject to your husbands, because this should display the glory of Christ in the world around us. Now you say, I don't think they're going to find that very glorious. They may find that quite disheartening and actually quite terrible. What they will see is the glory of Christ in us. They may not want to give thanks for it. They may not want to view it. They may not want to give credence to it, but they will see it. And just like the Lord's glory is seen in all of His creation around, and they suppress that truth, they're still suppressing the truth. They don't want to see it, but it's there. And your marriages, wives, your character may be something God uses to stir within their hearts to see they are not only disobeying God's plan for our marriages, they are being disobedient and rejecting God Himself. This may be something God uses to grant them repentance. Husbands, verse 19, love your wives and show them grace. Do not be embittered against them. We looked at that last week to see the wonderful glory of Christ. That husbands, you are not there for your own self. You are there to care for your family. You are there to love your wives with the sacrificial love of Christ. You are there to love your wives in ways to say, I will give my best for her good. I will sacrifice my own plans and glory for her good. Therein, again, showing the relationship of Christ Jesus to His bride, the church. Which brings us to verse 20. And here we see the family spoken of again, but this time it addresses children and a child's relationship to his or her parents, as well as fathers, how you are to treat your children as the head of the household as well. Today we will see the divine order. And also, just as in the last two verses, we will see the divine example. So let's focus our thoughts upon this text this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, There's not too many times that there's a sermon in which we are addressing a group of people, especially children specifically. Listen up. Children, this one's for you this morning. They're all for you. But this one singles you out. How's it feel? Getting some smiles. I'm also getting a few heads down. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Here's where the Word of God speaks to you. Here's other things that have been going on in your lives, and you all are of different ages. You all are of different lineage. You have different parents here this morning. Okay, each one of you has one set of parents this morning, but the multitude of you have different parents here this morning. And it doesn't say, children, I want you to look up to somebody else's parents. The focus is for you to consider your parents this morning. Who is it that God has placed you to be in their family? It's quite an interesting question when you think about it. Of all the parents in the world, here's the ones you've got. And God placed you there under their care. I hope our children here this morning will think for a moment just of a bit of thanksgiving. Say, Lord, I am thankful this morning that my parents, whom this passage tells me to be obedient to, who this passage speaks to me of, I am so thankful that you have blessed me with those parents who have me here in this place this morning, who have me as a part of the body, who have instructed me in the faith and cared for me to bring me here to hear the gospel, who have times of family devotion and worship, Bible studies and care, who teach me to attend to God's Word myself. I hope you'll take a moment this morning just to say thanks. Because I am sure you know at least this much. There are many parents out there who care very little for their children. And there are parents out there who do not think it's important to introduce you to your Creator. To teach you of the things that are good. And bring about important things in your life, like the knowledge of Him. There are parents out there who will not speak to their children and tell them, you need salvation. You need grace. And there is an ever-flowing fountain of grace in Christ Jesus. Children, take a moment this morning and be thankful for your parents. God's Word now calls to you, and it says these clear and concise words. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Maybe the thankfulness started to get put aside for a little bit. All things, really? Let's examine this verse in its simplicity. Children, you are to do what your parents ask of you and tell you to do. That is God's Word for you. Children, you are to yield to their authority. In the times in which that makes sense, and in the times in which you feel otherwise, you are to yield to their authority. Children, you are to trust them with a childlike trust. You are still children. Until what age? Talk to your parents about that. They'll tell you. You are still children. You are still under the authority of your parents. Until God calls you out on your own to be the head of your household, to be a father to your children, or a mother to your children. Trust them. They are here for your good. Now, I will say that and go ahead and tip my hand to show you what's going to be coming up later on. Your parents are not perfect. You are to still trust them. Just like wives, your husbands are not perfect, you're still to submit to them. Just like husbands, your wives are not perfect, and you are to still love them. Children, obey your parents. Children, learn from your parents. See, it's not just an exercise of obedience. This is not just obeying some traffic cop out there of life, saying, okay, do this, take a right here, slow down here, speed up here, don't brake too fast. Those are lessons to be learned, but they're not teaching you things. The reason your parents are instructing you are to help you, are to teach you, so learn of them. And children, honor your parents with thankful hearts. It is not always easy, but here is God's word for you this morning. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Now, let me step back. We're going to turn to some other passages here that will give this a little more scope. Because one of the things that we can look to the Scriptures and see are the Scriptures speak a lot about families. The Scriptures speak of one from whom every family derives its name from. And that one is God, our Father. He is the reason there are families. And as I started this morning, He is the reason you have a family and are part of a family. It is His doing. God Himself has revealed to us that He is God, our Father. A family term. And we are to be His children. And just like in verse 18, we learned of submission, is we can look to Jesus and see how He is submissive. And we can look to the church of how the church is submissive to Jesus. And we look to verse 19 and see husbands, and look to God Himself as the author of love. God is love. We can look to Christ Jesus and His love of giving up His own life because He loves His bride, that He might wash her and cleanse her and present her spotless and blameless and glorious. We look as children and as fathers to God to learn from. This obedience that I speak of, whether it is a child's obedience to his or her parents, or it is a parent who is giving instruction, who is giving leadership, who is guiding and protecting and teaching their children, there should be a warmth in that relationship. That's what a family is a relationship. Not just simply an authority set up over another person. This is a family. There should be a warmth, a closeness, and a thankful spirit in your hearts towards your parents. Children, you know what that's... Children, don't you know what is how wonderful it is to feel the love of your parent? To feel their excitement to be with you. To see you. To hear of how you're doing. There are some simple things in life. We've got a few kids here who haven't quite taken their first step. Something parents are looking forward to. There are others here who are about to skip that first step and just take off running. I'm looking at one right now back there that the berries are holding. Just start going. Just crawl first, okay? Let your parents experience that. They're the simple things. As a child gets older, says those first words, it does something to a parent's heart when you hear that. At first mommy or daddy or Aunt Gaga, if your name is Aunt Wendy and you're my daughter calling her that. There are things we'll remember for the rest of our lives from those experiences. There are other things as you grow older that should bring a warmth to a parent. When a parent starts to see that you are developing into a human being before God, when you start to see your place in God's plan and your need of repentance before God, as parents, we want that for you. We want you to feel your need of Christ because we want you to feel His embrace. As children here, I hope you understand that. And you understand that the things your parents are doing that sometimes are difficult to understand, that the things you just want to go outside and play, or you just want to go be with your friends, or if you just want to go be on your phone and your parents are trying to have a discussion with you about the things of God, about the things of the Scripture, just a moment to sing a hymn together before you guys go off and we won't see you again until bedtime, that you know that is out of love. There's a warmth there. Romans chapter 8 verse 15 speaks of something. And it speaks of a parenting that I don't know that we have of any here this morning. Actually, I do know that there is a sense in which this has taken place. And it speaks of adoption. The sort of parenthood that takes on a child that may not be yours of natural descent, but a child you choose to love as your own. A child that you see and you say, I don't want somebody else to have to do that. I'll take that responsibility myself. And whether it's been because a parent has died, whether it has been because a child has been put up for adoption, because a parent couldn't care for them themselves, whatever that be, there is the sort of parenthood that comes from adoption and reveals to us something about what true parenthood is. Romans chapter 8, I'll ask you to turn there to verse 15. And the Bible presents it as God having taken us as being slaves to sin, and He has broken the chains of that slavery. He has freed us from the slavery we were indebted to. And He has taken us, and God, though He has one Son, His only Son, His begotten Son, Jesus, has adopted us who don't deserve to be His Son. Who actually the slavery that we were under, it is a slavery that we ran to. We turned away from His goodness and we wanted our own life. We wanted our own place and we didn't realize that we were placing ourselves under slavery. But God in His grace, His sovereign grace, has captured us and broken those chains of slavery. In Romans chapter 8 verse 15, it says this about our place before our Heavenly Father. For you, dear believer, have not received a spirit of slavery which leads to fear again. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now some people will try and take that word Abba and try and come up with an English equivalent to it. And I don't even know what it may be in your hearts. It may be Father, just left right there. But the sense in the word is this. It has a genuine appreciation, love, and closeness within it. That's what this Abba means. This crying out, Father, You are the one who cares for me. You are the one who provides for me. You are the one who has rescued me. You are the one who has taken me in my relationship to sin, the sin that I love, and You have shown me the true relationship, the true life-giving relationship is to You. You have taken everything that stood in the way, every bit of shame, every bit of sin, and You have cast it aside so that I may come as close to You as any relationship may be in this world. You are my Father now. That sort of warmth should be the sort of warmth we as parents foster and children you feel to your parents. A closeness, a warmth, and an appreciation for them. Now, that being said, you will need to accept and find this sort of relationship with your parents as you obey them, even when they have need to discipline you. Children, I'm calling you to a sort of conduct that we should have towards God and should be modeled in our relationship, children, with your parents. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 says this, And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And that's a wonderful, this is God addressing human beings as His sons, His adopted sons. And it says this, My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. We all need discipline. Children, this verse that I just read is addressing your parents too. So you all in with me here? We had a good prayer time last week. Just the men, as parents, praying that the Lord would allow us to lead our families, that His Spirit would guide us as we do so. On the way home from that, I had a discussion with others about how hard that is, and children, how much we fail at that. Children, your parents need to be disciplined, but so do you. We will need it later this week. We will need somebody looking out for us, responsible for us, stewards of their relationship with us, to care for us, as God Himself cares for us. So your parents are caring for you, and their discipline is for your good. Receive it as such. Revelation 3:19, God reveals, "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So therefore, be zealous and repent." Here's something we as parents probably have not been very good at doing. And it is probably because we as parents have often confused anger with discipline. For that, to my children, I'm sorry. And I think I speak for other parents here to say we're sorry. Our anger is not discipline. There's still discipline to be had. Our discipline, as God reveals in Revelation 3, are to those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. And then there's a part of that verse that follows that we should be aware as believers before our Heavenly Father, but as parents, we should be very conscious to make sure, children, when we discipline you, here's our hope. You will have a zeal of repentance. You will see from our discipline, oh, you're doing this for my good. You want me to hear this and not just say, oh, all right, I'm sorry. All right, I won't do it again, or at least won't get caught. No, our discipline is telling you, here's the reason we're disciplining you. This is dangerous. This is sinful. This leads you down paths that you may not be able to get out of. As a parent, I can't control where this is going to take you. And I am disciplining you now. And I want you to hear this in obedience. Repent with a zeal. I want you as my child to say, Father or Mother, thank you. This is bad for me. And even though I may want it, your heart has been there evident to me to say it will lead to destruction. I will tell you what I told us just a few weeks ago. There is nothing good that comes from sin. That's the reason we should discipline. Parents, that's the reason we should discipline our children. We want them to know this is sin and there is nothing good that comes from sin. And we hope you will learn to take that with zeal and repent and turn away from it. Not just stop the behavior, but understand the reasoning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. Now, Calvinists, exegesis, would step in here and say, well, maybe all doesn't mean all, right? Sorry. Children in all things. This phrase recognizes a very important point. There will be friction. And that's probably a gentle word for it. I don't have a board up here still from this morning's prayer requests, but that board has had plenty of dry erase ink spilled on it of parents putting their child up on the board because their child has just turned away into sin. Because the relationship between the parent and the child now is one that is often not on speaking terms. We know that heartache. We know that difficulty. And as parents, we can think back in our lives, what was it that I did wrong? Oh, plenty. What was it that I did that drove them away? We can't hang that over ourselves. All we can do is turn to the Lord in trust and grace. But this passage recognizes something. Children, you are called to obey your parents in all things. A child will see times in which he or she does not think the biblical mandate applies here. Colossians 3:20 says, no, it does. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now again, as we saw last time, as we've discussed in previous passages, if a parent is asking you to disobey God, if a parent is asking you to do something opposed to the Scriptures, if a parent is abusing you in any sort of way for sinful purposes, I'll ask you to come to another and say, I need help. Will you talk with my parent? Let's talk together. Oftentimes in the church, we may not proclaim enough to let you know that that is part of living within the church, living within the body of Christ. Children, if your parents are sinning in a way and sinning against you, that is not something we hide as the church. That is not something we say, don't ever mention it, don't ever speak up. Please speak up. We are here as the body of Christ to protect you and to work with your parents. Hopefully that is never the case here. There will be friction. And hopefully, again, it will never be to that level. But sometimes there will be friction. And children, you must be clear and honest enough that that friction comes from your sinful desires that do not wish to accept the parent's command. You should know this feeling because you should know that you feel that way towards God at times too. The Word of God tells you to do something and you think, I just don't want to. I would rather do something else. I'd like to just ignore that. There will be times, children, your parents will teach you something, tell you something, command or ask you to do something, and you simply just don't want to. That doesn't excuse you from it. Children, obey your parents in all things. Sometimes this friction comes when your parents are not right. And believe it or not, your parents may not be fair. Children, obey your parents in all things. But they're not right. Again, if they're asking you to do something that is abusing you, if they're asking you to do something that is against God's glory and His honor, you can, just as we discussed last week, do what anybody else has the right to do in Christ. You may rebuke one another, even your parents, in the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying you need to find the way to get up there and get in your parents' grill, okay? It is okay for you as a child to say, Mom, Dad, can we look at this passage? Parents, when your child says that, yes, let's look at that passage. There may be other passages you want to turn to as well as a parent. That's fair game as well. But when we are bringing each other to the Word of God, please do so. Sometimes this friction comes because each of you is growing in the midst of a world that is not easy, it is not predictable, and none of you know what the future holds tomorrow. Parents, isn't this where we fail so often? Is we want to protect our children from something and we think if we just do this, that's going to do it. And our children look at us and say, Dad is not going to protect me from that, Dad. And others of us may be able to say, yeah, that's not going to protect them from it. You're going over. Parents can be legalistic at times. Shocker. This is why parenting is best done biblically, not personally. Do not drive your children with what worked for you or what you think would have protected you from doing what you did. There is some wisdom that you can impart there. Your mistakes as a parent is not the sole thing that guides you in how to raise your children. I'll tell you this, as a pastor, I see that over and over. As a parent, we think back in our lives and we think back to the things that got us in trouble. We think back to the things that we wish, okay, I don't want my children to go through that. And if I would have just done this, I would have avoided it. Maybe. And again, you may have some wisdom to share with your child about those moments. But don't let your parenting be driven by what you think would have fixed you. It's your parenting be driven by God's Word. Here's something to realize, parents. Our children are going to sin. Our children will disobey God. And our children will disobey us. That leaves you and the Lord with His Word, to look for direction, to look for the ways to biblically reprove, rebuke, and exhort them, and to come alongside them in prayer. Parents, this will take grace. And children, this will take grace. You will need to forgive your parents. And if you don't, you are going to have a big stumbling block in the way of this commandment to obey them. If you let their failures convince you that you will not follow Colossians 3:20, it's not going to go well. Jesus is our ultimate example. John chapter 6, verse 38. Here's what Jesus, God Himself, says. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. Just like we saw for husbands and wives, children, your example is Jesus, who came down from heaven to do the will of the one who sent me. Jesus uses the expression "my Father" 25 times in the Gospel of John. And if you take the word "my" off, you look, it's everywhere. Jesus views His life in terms of His relationship to His Father. Isn't that staggering? Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, views His being as a son to His Father. It's very instructive when you think about it. Just sit back and be impressed by it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 says this. But Jesus was faithful as a son over His house, whose house we are if we hold fast our confession and boast in our hope of firm until the end. See, here's an important part of understanding what it means to be a child. This is important. And especially to the older ones, here's some instruction to you learn from Jesus. Do not view yourself as your own. You are part of a household. Do not view yourself as your own. You are part of a household. Jesus himself not only revealed, I have come to do the will of my Father, I've come to obey him, I've come to do what he has asked of me to do. But it says there in verse 6, Christ came as a faithful son in his household. Jesus saw part of his life, part of his existence was to be who he is as the Son of God. His place within that family. You must be a faithful child as well, seeking what is good for your family. As you do so, you will mature and learn what will be good, guess what? For your family. Ooh. See that statement I said earlier, you are not your own? And that desire within you that says, I want to be my own. Someday, that desire to be your own is going to come back to you when you realize your children don't want to be yours. They'd rather be their own. And it's a little bit of a vicious cycle. Children, even to the older ones here, even to the ones that are closing in on that day when you will be your own, even that day when you will be a parent yourself, even as you will have those responsibilities and that stewardship given to you, you will reach a point in which you see in your children, they're still mine. Why are they rushing towards something? Why are they rushing to not be mine? Be a faithful child. And while you're under the household of your parents, do what is good for your family. I am so thankful for my children and the way they do that. They're not perfect. I'm so thankful for the other children here at Heritage that I see living that. It's a beautiful thing. And you will be well prepared when the day comes to start your own family. And we may not be ready for that yet. But we'll be thankful you'll be prepared. Fathers, they're not their own yet. You are still the head of the family. And this passage will not escape some more instruction to you. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. The Greek word here that in the New American Standard translates to that hard word that's hard for me to say, most are hard for me to say, you've probably found that out this morning. Exasperate. What does that mean? A couple other translations or other meanings of it in Greek dictionaries are to stir up, to provoke, to arouse to anger and disobedience, to irritate, or to embitter. Let me say it this way. Fathers, do not irritate your children. It is basically making sure that you are not responsible for the sins we just discussed in chapter 3, verse 8. Look back there again. Put aside anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Fathers, don't cause your children to do that. Because of your actions and your heart towards them. Don't be the cause of their sin. Don't take your role as their father. Don't take your role as their parent. Don't take your role as the head of your household and cause bad things with it. Has that ever happened? This can happen. But it shouldn't. Fathers, we should be very careful with the hearts of our children. Make sure you understand that. Their heart is a strong and yet a fragile thing. They need you, and yet they need to find their own independence. They need you instructing them as they mature. They need to be affirmed the way our Father affirms us. They need to be disciplined. So yes, this sort of love, this sort of treatment that it says here, do not provoke them, do not irritate them, do not embitter them. That can be done at the same time that you are disciplining them. Okay? Children, if your parents are disciplining you, don't think that that can't be done in a godly way, that that can't be done in a positive way. And don't think just because they are disciplining you that that is provoking wrath within you. No, take it the right way. You see the difficulty here? You see the care, fathers especially, we have to put in to our discipline of our children? And why I pointed out earlier, anger is not discipline. Discipline is love that must reprove, that must rebuke, that must punish even our children carefully. And I mean that in the strictest sense of the word, with great care. Parents, when you discipline your child, and fathers especially in view of this passage, and you see it leading to a negative response, do not sit back as if your job is done. And as if it's just simply your child isn't responding right. Take this as a moment, and parents, do this yourselves. I encourage you, when you implement discipline upon your children, this is going to sound very corporate here, so forgive me for that. Meet and review what you just did. Talk about it. Review it in prayer before the Lord and as husband and wife together. Here's what we did. Did we do the right thing? I'm not saying that you have to sit back and say, oh, we should have gone easier on it. I'm not saying that. But when you realize that you have done the correct discipline according to God's Word, when you realize you have rebuked your child and you realize they're struggling with it, realize your job was not done. It's not just that they did something and you meted out punishment for them. I guess that's what had to happen. Your heart is to make sure they don't become embittered by it. In other words, you may have to come back to them. It may be an hour later. It may be a week later. It may be coming to your son and daughter saying, hey, you remember that time? You remember why I did that? What did you learn from it? There's all sorts of children here thinking, oh, great, I'm going to have this discussion when I get home. Ephesians 6:4 says something similar, but puts it all together for us. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I'll tell you right now, those last three words are why discipline goes terribly wrong. I've read a lot of books on Christian parenting a long time ago. We just decided we're on our own here. There were some really good things written in them. And there were some really terrible things written in them. I do love a lot of what I find in Ted Tripp's writings. And I love the fact that he emphasizes we are shepherding their hearts. Not just correcting their behavior. When parenting reaches the point of, child, if you do that and other people see it, I'm going to be really mad because they're going to think I'm a bad parent. So, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do so that they will not lose heart. Please recognize it is within your power to drain the passion, joy, zeal that your children have for life and their family by your actions towards your children. Be careful with that. Children, I've already said, they can discipline you without doing that, so don't think this is getting you off the hook. Fathers, be careful with it. Mothers, be careful with it. Parents, guard it. Because ultimately, you want them to cry out to you as Abba, Father. Not just, yes, sir. It's the heart of a parent. There is respect and there is love. And they go together. Once again, our Father in heaven is our ultimate example. And I want you to hear these two. There's so many things I didn't put in my notes. So many places you're probably out there thinking right now, you're not even going to talk about this passage. I'm sorry. Here's a couple of verses I wanted to get to. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort." I do believe, fathers, this verse is for us to recognize if you are to be a father to your children that you are to be, you are to emulate your Father in heaven and be merciful to your children. It doesn't mean you don't discipline them, but you are merciful with them. Parents, you should be full of mercy and comfort. Always remembering that's the way our Heavenly Father is towards us. Secondly, Colossians 1:12. Always giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Now this is kind of an abstract verse. I could preach sermons based on this and it really doesn't tie in perfect with everything here. Just to say this. God's interest in us as His children is to do things for us we can't do for ourselves. I am not saying you're still double knotting your teenager's shoes, okay? I'm not talking about we do things for our children that they never have to do for themselves. But parents, there is still some of this at every point in your child's life. There are still things that you can look out for them and do for their good that they may not be able to do for themselves. It is not a debilitating action. Again, it is not saying I'm going to do this because I never want you to do it. But as a father, you should say to your children, I'm going to do something for you you don't deserve. Isn't that the heart of what our Father does for us? He gives us an inheritance we walked away from. He gives us an inheritance we wanted nothing to do with. When we wanted somebody else, He comes and says, I'm going to make it that you deserve. So parents, fathers, be involved. Look out for what is best. And give them what they cannot have any other way. You are specifically called of God and equipped to do that. The number one thing you can give your children that shows that you are giving them something they don't deserve is what? The gospel. The faith. Fathers, your number one duty is to proclaim the gospel always to your children. That you would have the heart of the Apostle Paul, who said, if I could, I'd give them my own salvation. I'd take the curse that they deserve. I can't. But you know one who has done that very thing. Give them Christ. Do not think, one last thing, that just as a tip, and again, I've run out of time and I could say more. I don't have time to say this one. Proverbs 17:28, parents, fathers, even a fool when he keeps himself silent is considered wise. Sometimes dads especially, we want to run in there and fix the situation. Just shut it. Okay. Recognize those times. But I found this verse to be extremely important. And it's a verse that we often misinterpret in the Christian life anyway. As Calvinists, we've adopted this. We think we understand it. We don't. James chapter 4, verse 13. I'll ask you to turn there this morning. As you're turning there, I'll prep you for this verse. It's a verse that's going to indicate something quite simple, which is this. You think, and especially fathers here this morning, you think this is the way to have a good life. And oftentimes as fathers, we think this for our children. Man, if you would just do this. Oftentimes we think of this politically. And I'll challenge you there that may pick on those that may be on welfare or may be needing help in some way. And if you have ever put something out there that says, man, if you would just go out and work, you'd be fine. I'll ask you to repent of that. And if you take this attitude with your children and you think, look, you'll be fine in life if you just do this. You go out and you get this degree. You go out and you get this training. You just learn from me. Your life is going to be fine. That is the most anti-Calvinist thing you could ever possibly put forth. It is one of the biggest deniers of God's goodness. And James chapter 4 is not saying, hey, be careful if you say, I plan to do this tomorrow. Add Deo Volente, say, oh, God willing, and then it's okay. It's not just saying that. It's talking to those who have jobs. It's talking to those who have a means of income and think, I've done it. I'm doing this, and I'm just going to go off to this country next week. I'm going to go off to this place, and I'm going to earn a living, and everybody else should do that too. It is to those people that have that attitude to say, no, that is not why you have meat on the table tonight. You want to know why you have meat on the table tonight? Deo Volente. Because God has provided it. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, oh, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and we'll spend a year there and engage in business and we'll make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. We all need to be reminded of that. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live, first of all, and also do this or that, if He wills. But as it is, your boast is in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. How do I apply that to parenthood? Fathers, your responsibility is to teach your children to depend upon the Lord. They may get the same training you had, the same degree you had. You may get them a position in the company you work. What does that guarantee? Nothing. So is all hopeless? No. We have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. Teach your children to depend upon Him. Teach them to work hard. Teach them to be righteous when they are called to be righteous. Teach them of their need of repentance and faith. Teach them of a life that gives everything up to follow Him. And fathers, you do well. I don't know how much time you have left with your children. We like to say, next week I'm going to teach them this. Our life's like a vapor. Change everything you need to change today. Redeem the time, parents with your children. See them as a stewardship given to you by God Himself, who's called you to rejoice in everything. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice over your children, I pray. Rejoice over the moments that you have with them. Teach them. Love them. Train them in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this morning,